Vicary Cassidy Project Camelot 2013-2014 from YouTube website. Interview 1 Total Recall, my interview with Mark Richards November 8, 2013. This is an interview with Captain Mark Richards conducted at Vacaville Prison on November 2, 2013. This is the first time in the over 30 years of his incarceration that any journalist has interviewed him. I was not allowed to document this face-to-face interview with camera or any recording devices or to take notes during the interview. Everything you are about to see has been recalled from memory immediately after my meeting with him. Just prior to the interview, I spoke briefly with his wife Joanne, who also was present during the interview. Navy Captain Mark Richards was an officer involved in the Dulce battle as well as very active in the secret space program in U.S. Space Command for many years prior to his being arrested and convicted of a murder he did not commit. This is a classic case of the government framing someone who they feel may be turning against them from within the military. When the truth was evident that subhumans and other creatures were being produced from abducted human females, impregnated against their will, a secret resistance group formed within the military and intelligence agencies of the U.S. government that did not approve of the deals that had been made with the off-worlders. Many of these brave humans would be assassinated, or died under mysterious circumstance, or would be silenced in other ways. The Air Force intelligence officer that reportedly was the man who met with the aliens at Holloman Air Force Base, in 1964, was the legendary Dutchman, Ellis Lloyd Richards Jr., the same man who would reportedly order the attack on Dulce in 1979, and whose son, Captain Mark Richards, would lead the human attack on the facility. EDH Earth Defense Headquarters. Technical Brief / Winter, 2001. Captain Mark Richards. Transcript. Source. Kerry Cassidy, KC. Okay, we are approaching the Vacaville prison area and I am really so afraid that I am going to make a wrong turn and get arrested, just because of the nature of the area that we are in. This prison borders a neighborhood. I can't imagine somebody going, well, let's go live right by a prison. You know, let's raise our kids right across the street from a prison. I mean, I just missed the turn, like what a nightmare. The street we just passed was called Butcher, and we're talking about what you name the streets around a prison, you know. Death Row Lane, Murder's Alley. You know, I don't understand how they could build a prison, and the place looks just like Nazi Germany, you know, totally. So this whole notion of prisons is really a demented one in my opinion. Oh, there she is. Kerry sees Joanne and gets out of the car. I'm here with Joanne Richards. We are here in Vacaville, and we are about to go to the Vacaville prison. I'm trying to dress conservatively. I had to actually borrow these pants, believe it or not. Because I live in jeans. I live in nothing but jeans and mini skirts. And neither of these was loud, she points to sweater and slacks she has on, so I think I look very. Joanne Richards, J.A.R., conservative. K.C., okay, good, and I have a big coat to cover the whole body if that becomes necessary. If I don't look enough like a nun, then I do have that extra piece. J.A.R., laughs. K.C., so I can't bring a recording device. We are shooting with the camera here in a parking lot of McDonald's just to document this momentous occasion, right? J.A.R., laughs, it is. It is very momentous. K.C., yes, and I mean I think I might be the first person ever to have interviewed him, to come to the prison. J.A.R., except for me, yes, back when I used to be a journalist, yes. K.C., wow. J.A.R., I mean we have had friends, but nobody in the journalistic capacity. So this is great. K.C., okay. J.A.R., and we will buy a couple of picture dockets so that you can take pictures of you being there. K.C., okay, so. J.A.R., and it's really. Once you get in there, it is really not as scary as it seems. K.C., it's very pleasant and. J.A.R., it's very pleasant and. K.C., I'm redoing my lipstick. J.A.R., we just all, you know. Sit at our tables and eat and talk. K.C., all right. So I guess the question is, how long has your husband been in prison? J.A.R., it has been 31 years since he was arrested, so 31 years minus about 4 or 5 months being out on bail. K.C., okay, and at this moment is there any chance of what you call parole and getting out in the future, that kind of thing? J.A.R., his sentence is life without parole, so technically no. So we keep trying to think of new strategies, and we keep hoping with overcrowding that they are going to realize they need to let out the older guys, because he is 60 years old now, and that is old for prison, so. KC, oh, okay. Jar, we just keep hoping somebody will think carefully. KC, wow. Jar. About their government decisions. Laughs. KC, okay, and is there going to be any topics that I cannot talk about, or you know, things I can't say, or any of that kind of stuff, because, if there is, you need to tell me now. Jar, because you are going in person, you can probably ask him anything you want. If there is something he can't tell you, he won't. KC, okay. Jar, and he will either say I can't tell you or he will just give us a look, like don't ask me that. Or, because if it is going to break his US secrecy oath, he won't share that. KC, okay. Jar, so I would try asking him anything you want, but just know he might have to not answer you. KC, alright, in terms of time, how long am I going to have with him? Jar, so the appointment to get processed is technically 12 o'clock, and if they are on time today, and who knows, and visiting ends at 2 o'clock to 2:30, you should have an hour and a half to 2 hours. KC, okay. Jar, it's going to be, you know, you guys getting in touch and talking to each other, and he's going to check you out and you are going to check him out, but just so you know, because he's very cautious about meeting new people. KC, okay. Jar, and he has to decide if he can trust you. KC, all right. Jar, I mean he has been fine with you and me talking all these months and all these interviews, and he's been very, you know, happy that we have been doing that and very grateful for your support so. KC, okay, and again we won't be able to record our conversation so what I have to do is remember. Jar, remember, right. And then hurry and go home and write a blog or something. KC, yes, yes, and in this case we are going maybe to try to do a video blog right afterward. Jar, yes. KC, while it is fresh, you know. Jar, oh that would be great. KC, you are going to be speaking at the UFO. Jar, con. KC, con. Jar, next weekend. KC, next weekend. Jar, yes. KC, so that's great and I also want to ask him about his father by the way, is that okay? Jar, oh okay, sure. KC, is that forbidden? Jar, oh no, no. Again, the only thing that is forbidden is if it is going to break any secrecy oaths. KC, okay. Jar, otherwise he is pretty open. KC, and just out of curiosity, has his father passed on, or is he still alive? Jar, no he died in February of 97 right before we met. KC, oh, right, okay, yes. All right. Does he have any family that visits him regularly besides you? Jar, no. KC, no, okay, all right. Does he want me to ask him about the case that landed him in prison, or would he rather I don't do that? Jar, I'm sure he wouldn't mind you know, and especially if you help us brainstorm possibilities, strategies, legal strategies to pursue or whatever, he's fine with that. KC, all right. Well this is it. And I just wanted to do a quick video blog here and then we are going to go to the next step. Then when I come back, we will kind of revisit this, okay? Jar, it'll be fun. KC, so, it's very exciting.
Thank you.
Time elapse. Back in car leaving the site. Hi, this is Carrie Cassidy and I have just come back from interviewing Mark Richards in the Vacaville prison, and this has been a fascinating experience I have to say. Way over the top. I mean just amazing. A very interesting man, definitely a military man of Germanic and British background, heritage, and DNA, all that. Very, very knowledgeable about the secret space program, and everything intending on that. I literally peppered him with questions nonstop. I can tell you that, for all intents and purposes, he is exactly who he says he is. This is what appears to be the truth. He was very, very well informed, very well read, very gracious. Very astute, and answered all my questions very clearly. There was no attempt, or at least obvious attempt at obfuscation, and I am going to just reel out the information I was given, which in some cases is kind of mind-blowing and yet a validation of most of what I have been given or what I know from the 8 years in Camelot. I can just say that this is a person who really knows what he is talking about, and who is able to answer me from his own experience, very direct experience. He has been a captain in the Navy. His father was, I guess, a high-ranking Air Force person, and also in the military. Both of them were in the secret space program. The kind of questions I asked him had to do with getting verification on who is running the planet, what the various races are, who are visiting here, and who are interacting with humans and aligning themselves with various countries, governments, and military factions. And so I was really asking him very high-level sophisticated kinds of questions. It wasn't just, you know, what are the kinds of aliens, and what do they look like, although we do have some of that in there. He made some very clear statements that I will state here. And, again, this is me going off my memory from just having been there for about 2 hours in conversation with him, and I didn't have any pen or paper, was not allowed to keep notes of any kind, so everything comes off my memory. We are doing this right now so that I will have a clear record, and so that I can also document for the public what I have just learned. Apparently it appears that he was given an okay to release this information gradually, and I am the first person who has gone to interview him in an official capacity. There have apparently been a few visitors who are friends, who became friends with him and Joanne, his wife. But for all intents and purposes this is the very first time he has been interviewed in this way and for the purpose of release to the public. I can say that he talked about races of ETs that he dealt with directly through the years and they involve first and foremost what he calls the Raptors and the Raptor race being a group who look like the Velociraptors to some degree, and I guess maybe they are even descended from them. They consider the Earth theirs, that they are an indigenous species to the Earth and that they really did die out. Actually they left during the end of the dinosaur era, but then some survived and they returned apparently, and they are interacting very directly with our military. They have a joint base and joint operations going on, or had in the Falklands, and a current, I believe, base down there. They are a species that, you know, really do look like the pictures of them, like in Jurassic Park. They love our luxury items. I was told that they also love cars, luxury cars and things like that. They have a set of family values. Their first approach to us was back in, if I remember correctly, 1951 give or take, and that their interaction was initially sort of negative with our race. But once they established relationships, we have become, I guess, tacit colleagues. They call us allies, human allies. However, their initial impulse is to eat humans, and they still can do so at any given point if they get mad or whatever. I was given an example that somebody could be having a friendly relationship, you know, talking with them, but if they got angry, they could turn around and eat the kid, you know, that they like to eat humans. But when you get in these military relationships with them, they refrain, the way you could imagine a vampire might refrain. In other words, they still have the capacity, but they refrain from exercising it. So they have been establishing and evolving over the last 40 or 50 years, or whatever it is, their relationship with the humans. They have a very close relationship with Mark Richards actually, who seems to have a very good friend who is among them. What he did describe was relationships as they exist between military and various alien races are not uniform. In other words, they have some individuals or actually factions within each group that may be more predisposed to be favorable toward humans, and then others that are less so, even within the same races. I did ask him about overall agendas for each group. There are two races of reptilians, actually there are many more races of reptilians, but there are two major races of reptilians that are antagonistic toward humans and that want to take over the Earth, take back the Earth for their own. They do consider that they own the Earth, and also are battling with the Raptor race for ownership of the Earth. The humans are helping the Raptors and the Raptor race is helping the humans to battle these reptilian races, these two races that both have differing agendas but more or less have to do with taking back the Earth. One group of reptilians is more humanoid, standing on their legs and so on and is more human-like, and has even lost, over time, their tail and so on and so forth. And then there is another race that is like a more traditional reptoid-looking race with tails. And neither group is positively oriented toward humans for the most part. There is a group of Draco. They have the wings. We know of them as the Sekars. We didn't get a lot of time to discuss that but he did talk about them being a different race altogether. And then there are, in other words, so many different races that are operational here, and that are coming in and out of the planet, even though our atmosphere is very hard for many of them to deal with, for the most part. He did agree that the terraforming of the planet, as I have stated in Camelot numerous times, with the methane and the Fukushima disaster involving radiation, is an effort to make the planet more amenable to certain races of beings, including the reptilians so that they can be in our atmosphere more easily. That is the agenda. That is one of the agendas. The other, And I know I'm going to be jumping around because I have to grab my memory from all the different areas that we talked about, but basically what is happening is that they are terraforming this planet. And they are looking to take the radiation to create a humanity 2.0. They are looking for mutants, just as the X-Men movie states. In other words, radiation can cause mutations that can be positive mutations for a race of beings, and that's what they are hoping to land on, is some more superpowers access from that. Certainly I think being able to travel in space more easily is an example, as one can better withstand radiation. We talked about so many things I'm just going to fire, you know, like a shotgun kind of thing here, because it was really quite substantial. I mean, I barely gave him any time to breathe because I was asking him things just like that, snaps fingers. And at no point did he ever hesitate, and when he didn't know something he was clear. If I said something that was too general, he asked me to be more specific. We did have a good rapport and were easily able to talk to each other. He comes from a Germanic English background. He has blue eyes and light skin and looks fairly Germanic. He was definitely a high-ranking officer in the secret space program. He was framed. The murder actually happened when he wasn't even here. He was on an assignment and had just come back and was having a meal with his mother when the actual, I guess, thing occurred. But, for all intents and purposes, he was not able to defend himself because he was away on a mission during the time when the plotting was supposed to be going on, along with all the other things he was accused of. And, certainly you can't use your secret mission as a defense in a proceeding of this nature, because it violates the security oath for one thing, and for another thing, no one would believe him. Okay, so there also. We talked about the Greys. We talked about Dulce, the Dulce battle. He talked about violence as being a real last resort. He said in some ways they were kind of young and naive back in those days during the Dulce battle, that they went in and it was supposed to be a friendly threat, rather than an overt threat, or a down-and-out battle. But it devolved into a battle because they simply didn't know how to handle it, and, they, ended up having to kill a number of the Greys, etc., in order to try to free the humans that were being experimented on there. He agreed with me. He said that they were sent in by Carter, and that prior to that, I questioned him about Eisenhower and that witness that is out there talking about how they went in to invade during the Eisenhower administration. He said Eisenhower wanted the place nuked. And in fact, nuking is one of the ways that they do go in and that they are fighting battles. He talked about the fact that there was. Sean David Morton has a whistleblower that he wrote a book about, and so I was curious whether that whistleblower's testimony was correct, and basically it apparently is. There was, or is, an alien who runs that place who is not a Grey. Most of the Greys are clones, he said. They use these interdimensional gates that require them to dematerialize, and when they rematerialize on the other end, they are not the same beings, and the humans can do the same thing, but that they hesitate, and most of them, like even Mark himself, will not go through certain kinds of gates that require them to dematerialize because when they reappear on the other side, they basically have to die to show up there. They do show up in their human form with all their memories intact, etc., but they are not the same exact being as the one who left there. It's a duplicate, so to speak. And if they come back and they cross back over, they again have to die, dematerialize, and rematerialize, again in the same configuration which we have, but he said it's very detrimental. There tends to be a degrading process that goes on in those kind of gates, and that he declined to use them as a result. He said the Greys use them, however, all the time, and that is part of the reason that the race is so devolved on certain physical levels, and he says it also affects the mental capacity. He does say that he himself was augmented. I asked him if his intelligence was augmented in other capacities. He alluded to the fact that, yes, he has been augmented, as many of the secret space program military have been. And this is the case with most of the people I have talked to, who are part of that program, especially on the more secret side, and this is even before the days of what we call super soldiers. He said that there is a great deal of truth in the super soldier story involving augmentation and what I call robotic supermen, and he verified that that is their agenda. That is being carried out. And he thinks that the nano is the most dangerous side of that. He said he had had direct experience with the nano, although we didn't have time to talk about in what way. Okay, so I was very interested in knowing who was running planet Earth and the bottom line, he said, is no one is running planet Earth. And the reason is because they are all, more or less, at war with each other within the various races of ETs that are visiting here, some of whom believe they own the planet as well as the humans. In other words, just as each of our countries has a different agenda, This is what we have on the alien side of things also. And he said, if anything, it is more complex than the human relations here on planet Earth politically and otherwise. But we did talk about Zechariah Sitchin, the Anunnaki, the conception of the humanoid, very tall beings that are depicted on the temples, and he verified that those beings did indeed look like that or do. And he did not seem certain as to whether people or beings like Enki or Enlil are still alive and whether or not they would be returning at this time. We did talk about the return of Marduk. He indicated that there is some possibility that there is some truth there, but again that they don't run the Earth. Maybe they want to be running it, but they are not. He did say that the group in Sumer was reptilian, however, that they looked reptilian, and that they are related to the ones who are actually running the Vatican at this time, which he did verify is a group of reptilians. I talked about one of the significant areas that I had put out there that I had tapped into on a psychic level, which had to do with Obama during the so-called coronation or whatever they call it, of the new Pope, who is indeed a Nazi, and therefore the Nazis have a relationship even through DNA to the reptilian factions. He said that indeed when Obama went to pay homage to Israel, that underground in Dimona is where the base of the Anunnaki is, what we know of as these humanoid Anunnaki, from what I understood. And that indeed Biden went to pay respects to the new Pope as sort of a nod to that, but basically a statement by the United States, in essence, saying that we are not going to necessarily bow down to the Nazi contingent that is running the Vatican. He did talk very specifically. We talked about some new information that I had gotten recently having to do with the Chinese and where the Chinese are at. He agreed that the Chinese are dealing with a new race of beings who are giving them new technology, and I've been told that they want to, in essence, run the world, but he did not feel that they are taking over the financial system, contrary to some reports I was getting lately. He does not feel that they are. He had not heard that there was a contingent of elders who had gone to try to make a deal in Britain, basically sidelining the Rothschild and the Bushes, the Bush cabal. He said that the Chinese were not going to be running the financial system from what he knows, and that they were barely making it. He said that actually they are going to be hard-pressed in the next 5 years to keep themselves going. He thinks that they are going to have a civil war, that the people, the Chinese people are actually in rebellion against their leaders in China and that there is going to be a civil war as the result. I did ask him that if, as I felt, the secret space program is run for the most part by the US humans military, and he agreed that that was for the most part the case. But he did say that they had been very much beleaguered financially by the problems that have been happening here on planet Earth. And that money as the medium of exchange to seem to interrupt or dampen their ability to do the kinds of things for the sake of the secret space program they would like to be doing, and it has dampened some of their strength on a certain level. Obviously, the secret space program has worked in connection with various alien groups, and we talked about which groups are out there, which groups are aligned positively with the humans, and which are not. We talked about what is known as the Galactic Federation. We also talked about another group that is called the Collective, and we talked about, as I said, the Reptilians and the Raptors. So it seems to be divided into those kind of groups in terms of factions, at least the ones you can address without going into so much detail as to all the different races beyond that. And there are groups also that go interdimensionally. We didn't have time to talk about all that, but apparently there are many different kinds of gates here, stargates on the planet, some of which are natural stargates that involve vortices and some that you can use go to the Moon and Mars. He said the most easy thing to transport is material items, more so than physical beings, but that you can definitely take the gates, and that he and his father both took gates on a regular basis between here and the Moon and Mars. I asked him if it degraded, you know, if it was a problem physically to take a gate, because I remember that Henry Deacon had talked about, and complains of some of his health problems as the result of using the gates, and he did say that that was one of the results. Let's see. There's so much and I am going to try to grasp it as quickly as I can. He talked about Eisenhower meeting just as it is in the public domain with the groups of aliens. We talked about Nordics from Orion. I had a theory that not all the Nordics are so friendly to our agenda, but certainly there are some Nordics that are. He did say that the Pleiadians and Nordics are different races and that they look different. He said the one way you could tell is that the Nordics actually have white blonde hair and some other different physicalities, but the Pleiadians have hair my color, golden blonde. He said that he didn't know anything about the Billy Meyer story. I asked him about that. We talked about the AI, artificial intelligence. I asked him if there was an AI running Earth. He said that there is not. However, there is a lot of danger from AI. It is one of our biggest so-called potential enemies, are the various races that have AI. He also talked about the humans that are now walking around that have been taken over by AI. He talked about the fact that we are protected here on the planet Earth. He said we were like, what, Israel is to the rest of the world, in a sense that they have their protectors who keep them alive, but some of their protectors are not necessarily their friends. It's like a tacit peace in which they acknowledge that they can't just get rid of all the human race, because they will bring war down upon themselves, so they have a tacit truce, if you will, to allow humanity to be on the planet. He said that if it wasn't for the fighting between the races that are here and visiting, with various agendas, that humanity wouldn't have lived this long on this planet, because there are a lot of them who would like to do away with humanity altogether. So it's like the fighting, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. He talked about why is there secrecy and the fact that all the races, including the humans, are in complete agreement that the secrecy has to continue because humanity is not ready to deal with the reality of the ET presence. And that has nothing to do with what the various ET races look like, we could handle what they look like. What we can't handle is how they act, in other words the fact that they want to eat us. There are a number of those races out there that basically want to eat us for dinner, and so that mentality, of going out and dealing with these races and knowing that any moment they want to eat you, was something that humanity couldn't handle. I asked him about the Battle of LA. For example, there were kind of some small anecdotal things that I asked him, like details. I wanted to know what race of beings were at the Battle of LA, and what they had to do with it. He said that the Japanese are dealing with various races of ETs, and indeed various countries have various relationships with different groups of ETs. So this further makes more of a complexity in the international relations, as I've always known, although very few people out there seem to realize that or deal with that. In other words, we have governments. The governments do not act alone. They act in concert with the various ET races that they have alignments within those agendas, whatever the agendas happen to be. And he said that the Japanese were dealing with a couple different races, and that they have been through the last 4,000 years or more. We talked about the battle in the Pacific, and the underground bases of the various ETs there. He validated that. He said the Navy is indeed at war with a group of reptilians, and what are in essence reptilians with undersea bases in the Pacific Rim, and that they have nuked a number of them. They nuked an island off of LA, which is called something like LA Island, and that most people don't even know that, and it is, only, 200 miles from LA. He said nuclear power was really useless in space, completely antiquated technology, that it really did no good, and it wasn't useful for anything except occasionally here on Earth to use as a weapon or in space to basically, he said, shoot into an asteroid to then blow up a passing ship that they want to destroy. That is what he said is how it was used. But he said it was very crude, a very crude method to even do that. So in other words, things like particle beam weapons and scalar weapons were far in advance of the kinds of nuclear technology. But obviously the nukes or nuclear technology are useful here on Earth to change the environment into a high radiation environment so that we would in essence mutate into having various powers that accept. Cut away. I didn't get a chance to ask him about Phobos, which I wanted to, but I talked to him about Solar Warden. He said Solar Warden is this inner planet group. It's part of our solar system. It's a group of guardians who are going around monitoring incoming and outgoing craft and races. He does know something about ISIN and the beams that are coming as part of ISIN, and he is going to try to get that information to me in as best a way he can. And, he clearly knows a tremendous amount. It is just quite amazing. He just didn't even hesitate. He talked about the cutting edge of having technology as a race, and being a spacefaring race is all about having an ability to tap into what he called a black star. And the black star can then become a black hole, that's where they get their technology. There is a huge source of power there that the races use to power the spacecraft and to use what he called warp drive, to have the ability to warp jump in that Star Trek way. He said that humans do have that technology, but only because they have been given it or have stolen it by getting it from certain craft that are drifting around out, in space. In other words, the occupants are gone, but this is a craft that has that technology. And they are still trying to reverse engineer certain kinds of spacecraft that they use in concert with the races that they are partners with, I guess, so to speak. That is technology that gives them access to the Black Star technology, but they don't own it for themselves yet. So that is a big inhibiting factor to being able to rule space the way they would like to, or have any kind of dominance out there without the help of their alliances with these races. Most Greys are clones. I kind of got off the subject when I was talking about Dulce, but their one being who is running Dulce was at least from a far-off star system, and he is highly intelligent and a different being than the Greys. I asked him if he was a Zeta Reticuli. He seemed to think that he might have been from another race altogether. And so this is the playing field. He said the Rothschild had less dominance than commonly thought, although they do have a position in terms of the power structure. And obviously, you know, the Bushes are players, etc. He did say that you would not find a documented record of the Bush family lineage DNA-wise anywhere, because it contains reptilian DNA. But, they are not shapeshifters, contrary to what people think, but in their DNA is absolutely reptilian DNA. They don't go to regular hospitals, and there is a reason for that. And the Nazis the same thing, that there is a bloodline that has to do with the reptilian DNA that is in the Nazi line. The two main reptilian species that he was discussing, he said, don't get along with each other so much. Each one considers the other lesser than themselves, although they have the same agenda, but it's to exclusion of each other. So again, that kind of animosity works for us and the raptors. He has had a great deal of dealings with the raptors, it appears, from not only having friends among the raptor species, specific friends, to having been discovered when he was a child in Marin County where there was a crash of the spacecraft that was taken down by a group of incoming raptor craft. Actually, it was his wife, Joanne, who said he had a scar from a blood brother relationship with the raptors that was made when he was a little child, a little baby in fact, right after he was born. He talked about the raptors being able to speak English or any language they wanted, but their vocal cords had to be slightly altered so that they could communicate using voices like we do, and that they could then communicate using our language. But lots of the raptors who are not on the high levels of the military and the raptor society don't have that alteration, so they have to use things like sign signals. He said that they are slightly telepathic but not all that telepathic. I asked him if indeed he had some augmentation or abilities in that area, and he seems to have that. He did allude to the fact that his physicality being what it is, although he does have physical problems as he is hitting 60 years old or more, that in his current capacity if he didn't have that augmentation, he probably would not have survived 30 years of prison just physically. So whatever that means, it sounds quite interesting in what it really means in terms of his dealings with his fellow inmates, so to speak. Let's see, what else? I'm trying to think in terms of anything else I can remember. I asked him where the gates were, you know, and I named a man with Hill and Dimona, and he named another part of Israel that had a gate. He said there were gates in the mountain ranges between Pakistan and Afghanistan and that area was riddled with gates along there. And there are a number of gates, and I believe these are natural gates, between Iraq and Iran. And of course being that there are battles over these gates, we make sure to try to have command of them. In essence, I mean if you were to sum up everything that he said, he was basically talking about this kind of being. Actually it sounds like a mess here on Earth. There are so many different agendas in operation for these various races of ETs and there are so many of them and they are all dealing with the various militaries, that it is really hard to separate things out and talk about them. He said you can't make a blanket statement for all one race any more than you can for one country so to speak. Let's see, he talked about why he ended up in jail, why they framed him particularly. He said he had become disenchanted with his job in the military. He is not aligned with the Nazi agenda and he is not happy with the obvious experimentation that is going on by various races on humanity. And that it also sounds like he didn't like any kind of blanket murder of the ET races, even if they were our enemies to some degree. He had liaisons with Russian women, interpersonal relations, as well as the head of French intelligence, apparently a woman. And those alliances, although he fed information and reported on them regularly, etc., as an officer, he said that that made him a threat in our military in such a way that they became worried that he would become a whistleblower. And so this is why they arranged to frame him, that he was vocal about his disagreement with some of the agendas that he was asked to be a part of and that this became more problematic. His father, however, was more aligned with what you might call the standard New World Order mission to some degree, at least throughout his life because he was brought up with that perspective more so than Mark. Let's see what else, I'm trying to think about any other areas that we talked about, and I may have to just wait for my memory to come back in certain things because I'm just trying to get everything. He said he had had a lot of dealings with the Vatican, and I guess the races of reptilians under the Vatican. Oh, he said John Paul, the death of John Paul I back in, I think it was the 60s or 70s, 1978, whenever he was killed, that was a killing. He just didn't die. He was killed, as many people have suspected. He said in 1979 the Vatican went through a drastic change, and there was some kind of. It wasn't clear. I didn't get a clear answer and wasn't able to really delve down into it too far because our time was getting shorter and shorter. But he said that in 1979 a lot of people don't realize it, but there was a massive change. It sounded like it was earthwide, but it was also specifically to do with the Vatican and a power struggle within the Vatican. Well, I talked about the financial system and again, you know, was it true that the Chinese were actually going to be able to take it over, and he said no, that he hadn't heard anything like that. He is tuned in and has contacts on the outside. He is in communication regularly with people who are on a high level. I talked about being at the Bilderberg event, you know, the fringe event, the demonstration where I spoke and so on, and he said that he has a relationship with various members of the Bilderbergs. Let's see, what else? Oh, he said the idea of shape-shifting, a lot like you know what David Icke talks about, is really not very accurate. There are very few races that ever have the ability to shape-shift, that it's more, I guess, a DNA thing, a bloodline thing. But that there are races, he said, that will materialize here, or they will use an android body that looks very human and then they will manipulate it from a distance using an AI. I think from what I understand the Andromedans. First of all, he said there were hundreds of races of Andromedans, so, you know, you couldn't call one group the Andromedans, and that they all have different agendas. 049 and 10 seconds. We talked about the praying mantis people as well. He said they had lost power over the last 50 years, that group, but that they were initially favorable toward humans, and now they may be more broken up. The praying mantis people had some kind of civil war within their factions. He said that initially the praying mantis group was favorable to humans and were our allies, but that has changed over time. They are still, I guess, predominantly our allies, although I think that there are breakups within their faction so that you don't know who you are dealing with. And this is true, he said, also within the reptilian groups. The Greys definitely are at the beck and call of the reptilians, he said. He said that one of the reasons he is talking to me, or can talk to me, is that they know that because he is a prisoner, he's a felon, a convicted felon, or whatever you call that, that nobody will believe him. And so this is their way of feeding information out to the public in one way. But in the other way, their plausible deniability is substantial, because if I say, as I am saying, all the things he said, people will not believe the source, will not believe him because he has been in prison for a murder charge, even if it is trumped up for the last 30 years. So they feel safe in that way, but at the same time they want to get information out, just as he said the movies are being used for this purpose as well, movies and television, that they are trying to wake humanity up to some degree. Although, you know, they want to keep the lid on certain things. He talked about crash retrievals. He was part of crash retrievals on a regular basis. He said the United States is still going out around the world paying off certain governments. For example, I mentioned South Africa and various African countries where crashes are happening. The US military or secret space program will go in right away, try to be the first ones on the scene, and their job is to get that technology at whatever cost. They will kill locals, or whatever they have to do in order to get that technology. So that's their mission. That's what they are being told to do, and he was part of some of those missions. So recovering technology is still key. I'm trying to think about anything else I might have asked him about. I asked him about the black nano oil in the Falklands. He said he had heard about that, but even though he was part of the battle in the Falklands, he was not exposed directly to that, so he doesn't know anything much about it. He is highly knowledgeable and he has flown many spacecraft, interstellar types of craft, he, and his father. His father was, I guess, a fighter pilot in World War II. In fact, he has a Nazi bloodline. He has people that he was fighting, he and his father, or his father was fighting against, that are members of the Nazis, or were. Oh, and I talked to him about the time travelers, actually the Nazi technology for time travel that in essence came out of the Bell, and they have had that technology since the 40s. They do have a way to go over to the other side, the parallel Earth, bring back Nazis or even other beings, you know, humans such as my whistleblower said. I talked about this in my time travel conference from a whistleblower that I have. And he did say there are many operations that involve time travel, and that, there are, many ways in which they can bring, you know, back the human, in other words, make them younger. They are working on all these aspects of it so that he is met with Nazis who are made younger in this way. He himself has dealt with them, so he validated that information, which was fascinating, and said that you can't always tell where the person who we knew in history, what means they used to bring them back, whether they crossed over from what we call the parallel Earth, or whether it was this technique to reduce your age, and then augment you, etc., and have you live a very long life. He did. There are many different ways that could be done, and so any particular individual could have used a part of whatever program. We talked about Area 51 containing a gate. He said Los Alamos, just as we thought, contains a gate in basically places in the southwest of the United States. As I said, Menwick Hill, and Dimona. He said Australia was a very strong area, outback of Australia. Oh, this is gone. I think we are about to lose the battery. I think the battery has gone out. Looks like we are still broadcasting, but I'm not sure. Is that on? Unidentified person, KC, is this on? Okay, he said that Australia, out in the deserts of Australia, has a number of gates that people use and especially the US military use. He said there are things he can't tell me that absolutely have to do with whether he would be killed or not and whether his family members would be killed. So he has a select group of information that he can, I guess, reply to, but there is also a very select group of information he cannot acknowledge that he knows or talk about. I think I'm running out of information at this point, so we can stop and I will try to think of some more. Okay, thank you. Later, driving in car. The prison outside looks like literally from the Nazi era, but it's bordered by these neighborhoods with kids, and I mean people live right next door to the prison. It is unbelievable to me that they would want to live there, but maybe they have to live there. I'm not sure why. But anyway, the prison inside, when you go to meet with the prisoners, is not anything like the movies, in this case at least. You know, it is not all lined up with tables and chairs where people sit opposite each other and have conversations and can't touch and all this. People are hugging each other and sitting next to each other really close, couples and babies, and little children all running around. There are paintings on the wall, murals that the prisoners have made with jungle scenes and animals. You know, it looks kind of like a playroom. And it has little tables and chairs and everything is a little bit small, like it was borrowed from a school. Everyone is eating from vending machines. They have a microwave and they are making popcorn, so it is not really an awful experience. That part is very human, you might say. Although there are guards and everything, they don't get into your face. They are not standing over you. I guess their high-powered cameras are documenting everything they can hear you say, but we were able to talk quite quietly, and there was a huge amount of noise because everyone is talking at once to their spouses and all that kind of thing. We were there for 2 hours or more. We were delayed because he said that there was some kind of delay. He didn't know if it had to do with them trying to delay him or not, but more delay than usual in bringing him out to see us. And that was interesting. You know, we basically had to sit in these little chairs kind of hunched over talking to each other, the three of us, me, Joe and his wife, and him. He ate a salad from a vending machine that she got for him while he was talking to me. I could have eaten something. I just drank water. Joanne made popcorn in the microwave and ate it. Let me see if there is anything I am thinking of. When I first got there, I described Camelot a little more to him. He seemed to know something about Camelot. And I have to say, he definitely has his sources of information, like people that he is getting his information from. He definitely talked about dear friends in the military and so on, and actually Joanne told me that the guards are not able to. They try once in a while to catch these people and get them in trouble and stuff, but he's kind of like that Germanic strong no-nonsense kind of guy. He's not a joker. He is very intellectual, kind of an intellectual physique, although you could see that he was probably stronger when he was younger. He is still strong though. Looks strong. But he is definitely sort of a no-nonsense kind of guy. We weren't making jokes and all that kind of thing. He is not like that at all. He said the guards try to call him hunk or something, and because he is a captain, and maybe I guess a major in the military, he insists on being treated with respect by the guards. And he outranks them, Joan said, so they are supposed to treat him with respect. And he insists upon it, and I'm not sure what that manifests into or whatever. She said that she feels protected, but that people have been following her. They are often following her, she thinks, not to spy on her but to protect her, because he insists upon it. Maybe it is part of his deal in incarceration. Their house gets broken into every single time she leaves it, like for a trip to go to a speaking engagement, but the authorities, the military is always in evidence of having snuck in. They try to cover their traces but they don't do it very well. So she is aware that they are always going through her stuff. She talked about being on the tour, I guess the Glastonbury tour, when she went to England to speak recently. There was a man dressed in black from head to toe standing there with a camera looking very out of place, not fitting in, but basically there on the job to watch her. I think he was not a good guy. He said something intriguing to me when I was about to leave, that was something about he could tell me more about Camelot. So I didn't know what he was meaning about that, and I'm thinking that maybe he is talking about King Arthur's Camelot or in the relationship, but I don't really know what he is talking about exactly. Maybe even about this, or my project, I don't know. In the meeting with Eisenhower off the airbase, I forget what it is called, Murok or whatever they call it, Edwards, he said there were three groups of aliens. One was called, he said one was called, I want to say the gargoyles, but that's not what he called them. He called them something like the ghouls, or something, that they have a name that sounds kind of like goblins. They make a joke about this race of beings. They were there and, I guess, the Nordics and the reptilians. That's who was there. There was one point when he said people should be paying more attention to, you know, what I was talking about humanity 2.0 and their efforts in that direction. In essence, he was saying that people should put more energy toward that and less maybe toward outer space, you know, the kind of cute little alien stories than they do, because there is a lot going on planet Earth here, I guess, where they are really trying to manipulate the human, so to speak, and that is something that needs to be investigated and paid more attention to. I mean, he definitely talked about going to the moon and Mars like it was a normal thing. He also talked about going to the moons, like moons of Titan, he named, and other moons. And he said that we are out in space doing space mining, so to speak. I wanted to know about the gold. Because recently somebody was telling me, oh, you know, the Chinese have more gold than anyone else. Actually, that is not true according to him. He says that we are bringing gold and silver in from other planets, and that they come from all different other planets, but we are not the only ones with gold and silver, and that we are bringing gold and silver onto the planet. Obviously, the secret space uses that to basically be in charge of the world. He also said that the whole idea of having an empire is the most common configuration or model in space for a race to rule, that commandeering resources and some form of money. He said there is always some form of exchange regardless of what it might be with most other races. He said that our Oort cloud of asteroids surrounding us makes us a very difficult place to get to without using a gate, in other words, if you want to fly here using spacecraft. And that because of that, the Earth was quite a protected zone in a certain way, that alien races had trouble getting here using craft, and that they had to be quite advanced to get here, like their space travel. He said there was no second sun. He said we might have been a binary system a while ago, but that to his knowledge, and he has been out there, he says, to quote him, we do not have a second sun. We only have one sun. And they have to be very careful about not igniting Jupiter into a second sun, which is the same thing Boriska said, by the way. That validates Boriska's information. He knows a lot about propulsion systems and I guess free energy and all that. But he seemed to say that using that black star is a... oh... he talked about black stars being a source of neutrinos, and that neutrinos were the best source of fuel for getting around the solar system, and again going warp. He has flown all kinds of craft. He has flown experimental craft that then became part of the secret space program. He said that there is distortion in the Star Trek version, that people tend to believe too much of that. He did also refer to himself, however, as a Captain Kirk character. That in essence was his job. The same job as the one Captain Kirk has, in other words, leading the space fleet. I got the impression that both he and Joanne are having ongoing relationships and communications with at least the Raptors, if not other races as well. He said he was placed in prison, he believes, by a certain group of reptilians in concert with some humans who don't like him and trust him. I think maybe in essence the kind of Wolfowitz-Cheney contingent is among those who are not his friends. He talked about human women being extremely desirable to off-planet races. Reptilians and raptors can mate with human women and create offspring who are then hybrid. They look human for the most part, but that they have to be assisted, and I wasn't sure what he meant by that, but they have to be assisted some way. They consider it a big deal to be with a human woman, and that lots of races, it sounded like he was saying lots of races, felt that way, video fade. He talked about Göbekli Tepe, the new discovery in Turkey. And he said that that was showing or had a very strong connection to Sirius, the races from Sirius, that they were dogs, he called them Canaanites or Canites, something like that, and that they looked like dogs basically, standing up on their hind feet, and that they had been dealing with them, coming here for eons. He also talked about the cat people, the same thing. He talked about the Egyptians. He said that they were dealing with all the different races coming here and that they were on a pretty sophisticated level for the 2,000 years that their civilization was in operation. I think it was 2,000 years. He said he was involved with this island called St. George Island down by the Falklands, I think it is down there. He said there is a major, I guess, base of some kind going on there, and I think that might be where the raptors are as well. He definitely was talking about wars taking place over the last 50 years between all the different races, including happening here on Earth, or part of it. He also said that various factions of the military, for example, the Air Force has been dealing with, I think he said the raptors, for a super long time and therefore the Navy, if I have got this right, doesn't trust them all that much. In other words the different factions, because I was asking him. It has been known to Camelot that the various divisions of the military don't necessarily trust each other, and because they are aligned with different groups of ETs, and I asked him if he could verify that. He did. That indeed is the case. Video fade. He said that they definitely have undersea bases. He said that Catalina was a base that was ours but it really belongs to an ET group, and that we are the security guards he said for the Catalina base. He stressed that various races really like our luxury items. Specifically he then said you'd be surprised what a group of beings would do for some chocolate, and he said that, and it almost sounded a little sinister. And along those lines he did say the Earth is a very. He didn't just say Earth, but he said our entire solar system is very well positioned on the Milky Way galaxy. It's a very desirable location apparently to other races. It is a highly contested area, and of course Earth itself is, partly because of all the goodies, I think he even called it goodies, it contained. Presumably the humans being among one of the goodies that he was talking about. So he said, you know, that is part of the issue. He said his bloodline is the Stuart family in England, but that he also comes from a Scottish division of that group, and also has a very strong German part of his bloodline that is linked to the Habsburgs. One of his relatives is involved with one of the Habsburg princesses, and what that does is validate the level he achieved in the military as well, because obviously they are promoting those bloodlines. The reason that you don't see these gigantic craft taking off from Earth to go out into space is because they can transport physical material very easily through a gate, and so then they can use small craft to just take, I guess, small teams out there. And so that's why there are not so many big craft, or that they don't have to worry about hiding big craft. And he said they could go as far as Moon and Mars. He said after that it gets, what he called, dicey to try transporting things, meaning through the gates. And that does coincide a bit with what Dan Burrish had said. Dan Burrish had referenced early on the gates as being used to move materials through and Dan Burrish said there was limitation. First of all he said that humans couldn't go through the gate, which is not true. I just remembered that he said he was part of Project Moondust. He called it Operation Moondust, and that was a crash retrieval program for recovering technology, as we know, and which is documented out there. But the interesting thing about that is that I wrote a screenplay years ago before Project Camelot and I named it Project Moondust, because I had seen the name Moondust out there. It's just a synchronicity. He also talked about robots. In other words that one of the biggest threats we have is possible incoming races of robots, obviously running on an AI interface that would look humanoid. I guess like Battlestar Galactica. He said that's a real possibility. But they may not look humanoid, that's also a possibility. And another big threat, he said, was AI in general, that was a big danger. And nano, he said, that was the other big danger to humanity is nano. And he said he had direct experience with that. There were some things I wanted to remember that he said. Carrie shakes her head and voice drifts off, I can't remember, it will come to me. End. Note, total recall, my interview with Captain Mark Richards of Project Camelot production directed by Carrie Lynn Cassidy shot on location and edited by Neil Anthony Sanford and Carrie Cassidy November 2, 2013. Interview 2. Space Command, Captain Mark Richards. August 1, 2014. This is my second interview with Captain Mark Richards. This contains my recall backed by handwritten notes from on-site in Vacaville Prison with the help of his wife, Joanne Richards. I spent nearly 4 hours this time talking with him and have carefully chronicled his testimony to the best of my ability as closely to his own words as possible under the circumstances. The subject matter covers the secret space program and our relations with various ET races both on and off planet. Our current level of technology and the ET connection between governments around the world and the military. I will be posting a copy of his recent letter detailing the location of the current interstellar space centers on planet Earth and also the lists of questions along with a copy of our notes taken during the interview. Space Command. Second interview with Captain Mark Richards. By Kerry Cassidy. August 2, 2014. From Project Camelot website. This is my second interview with Captain Mark Richards. This contains my recall back by handwritten notes from on-site in Vacaville Prison with the help of his wife, Joanne Richards. I spent nearly 4 hours this time talking with him and have carefully chronicled his testimony to the best of my ability as closely to his own words as possible under the circumstances. The subject matter covers the secret space program and our relations with various ET races both on and off planet. Our current level of technology and the ET connection between governments around the world and the military. I will be posting a copy of his recent letter detailing the location of the current interstellar space centers on planet Earth and also the lists of questions along with a copy of our notes taken during the interview. July 2014. Captain Mark Richards 2. Main notes, compilation of my recall and Joanne Richards' notes in pencil during interview. Note, these are notes only and not written in complete sentences with punctuation etc. Notes taken by Joanne Richards. And transcript from Carrie's audio notes. Combined into one document. Rough draft notes. Pencil issue. They insisted that I know that this was weapon and Joanne took notes while I was talking to him. I am struck by his presence of mind and his generosity of spirit is such that he is willing to respond to any question fully and completely. He focuses on you, he's very direct and he doesn't mince words, he also doesn't suffer fools gladly. I asked him several times to respond to things that I have heard over the years out in the alternative sector in order to get his reaction, and sometimes he would just unequivocally say no, this is not true, and sometimes he would say that something is partially true and then exactly how it's true. Time travel / missions current, out of body or in ether. One of the most significant questions that I asked him, which he refused to answer, but in refusing to answer the answer was therefore clear, I asked him whether he felt he was still being utilized on missions. Answered yes with body language. He was very very clear as always, and I have to say that all my answers, I got all the answers to my questions and more, and will to try to relate here all the things that told. So first of all, I want to say that he also shared within prison for this as many years as he has been why he's actually probably been able to survive it, and that has a lot to train because she is a very well trained military guy. A captain inmate in the Navy, but he has since he was around 3 years old been taught how to use gun and defend himself and join us, published many reports written by him and in part by her about his experiences prior to his incarceration soon. If you haven't already tried to get a hold of those reports, these to go to her website. I have a list pages long and I'm going to be giving this to him, mailing it to them because they wouldn't allow me to actually hand it to him, and so I mailed it to him after the fact, and then he will be able to also put in writing anything that we don't cover, any questions I wasn't able to get an answer to. As a captain in the Navy secret space program flying ships interdimensional jumping, he is very well aware of the multiverse. He's not waiting for disclosure. There are between 1200 and 1500 inmates who should be released for good behavior at Vacaville. They have been asked to find a way to release them, but they haven't done so. This is called a political football. Mark Richards is one of those who qualifies. Vacaville is a lower custody facility. The kid who originally committed the murder Mark is accused and sentenced over has gotten a high-paid lawyer and gotten his sentence overturned. However, they refuse to release him anyway. What does that tell you? Raptors play both sides / factions. Naga's daughter is the Empress of the Raptors. See Harvest Moon 77, one of the reports for sale on Joanne Richards' website, Earth Defense Headquarters, at HUD.org. Trogs, 7 to 9 foot tall, cross between ant-like creatures and praying mantis. Negative, service to self, race. Raiding parties, humans are abducted permanently off service Earth and have many uses to visiting races. Uses of humans. 1. Food source for reps and greys, maybe others. 2. Allies. 3. Slaves for building things, serving various races. 4. Trading / bartering. 5. Study, as in scientific study. 6. Earth is desirable vacation spot. 7. Access to minerals and precious stones. 8. topside use of land/underground bases, jumping off point to other systems. 9. Breeding and genetic programs with human females highly desirable. 1. Black Star, Dark Star energy, from use to power spacecraft. This type of energy is highly prized in the multiverse. It puts humans on the level with other interstellar races. They don't appreciate that. Different than zero-point energy. Gotten from recently exploded neutron stars. Most of science doesn't understand dark energy. Allows our space command to go interstellar and avoid jumping through black holes. Technically, we could make it at CERN, but it is both small and expense. The best way to snag it is with the help of various friendly races who help us navigate jumping, going back in time, to acquire it. Because we still don't have complete control of where we jump to. You can jump too close to a system's sun or star. Once you get caught in the gravitic pull of a body, you may not be able to escape. 3 ways to get dark energy. 1. Snag it by jumping back in time with navigation help from another race. Snag it through gate. 2. Trade it by giving them a large number of humans. Darkest way 3. Barter, such as we did with the Canonians, dog race of beings, exchange for giving them an underground base on Earth, in Australia. Canonians. According to Mark, the Canonians like humans. Often dress in hoods and go into malls etc. to watch humans and have fun. Consider Earth good jumping off point to other systems. Merchant race of the galaxy. Can't wait for disclosure so they can market to us. Needed a safe place for their underground base. Consider Earth safe for them. They stand upright humanoid, their faces are like hound dogs. Space Command have done a deal with them and has built them a base underground in Australia, and in exchange for that they were given dark energy to go interdimensional and travel far distances. They sometimes go out in appropriate weather with raincoats and cover their faces and go out among the public because they just enjoy, similar to the Tall Whites as reported by Charles Hall. Various factions of the military and governments aligned with various interstellar races are worth each other, but each of the sessions is aligned with at least one and sometimes more than one race that those who serve in. We're really dealing with what is in essence exopolitics situation, as all of these races are vying for power. He said Earth is extremely desirable because of its various systems, and not the least of which is also our society. He doesn't want to violate security, but he did say that Earth's females are highly desirable to many off-planet races. They use humans for various purposes. He didn't elaborate much on this. 2. Mark's psychic abilities. 1. He knew Pat Price. He verified he died via remote viewing. Pat Price was the CIA equivalent of what Mark did for the USAF. 2. Pat Price was getting ready to come forward in 1975-76, was murdered. 3. Mark started working for Lockheed at 16. Was heavily tested for psychic and other abilities, and found that because of his childhood, in part, that he didn't have limitations most children have. Was able to achieve things most kids can't. Partially due to his father and mother and growing up with a father in the secret space program/space command. Father was known as the Dutchman. He was frequently introduced to many people in high places, military and others, that he doesn't remember. 4. Asked about kill shot from the sun, said it's gov BS, there is no doom/gloom scenario that we don't manage to get around for the next several centuries that he is aware of. 5. ETs both positive and negative have vested interest in seeing Earth remain in humans as well, in case of positive/related ET groups. 6. Alien or human Illuminati could do an EMP to slow us down. 7. Doesn't think the NWO agenda would allow for this Earth to destroy their means to acquire more wealth and power. They sell to the middle class. 8. There are no fracture lines in our Mobius that suggest world destruction. 9. Pole shift concept, could happen but not man-made. Believes gov groups/factions are trying to figure out how to avoid it rather than create it. 10. Humans have enemies that threaten us. Several races. 3. Black oil, goo, yes, was introduced by alien source, probably reptilians. Can take over humans. Artificial intelligence, but more like mushrooms or fungus. You are not going to have a conversation with it anytime soon. Still a factor to deal with. Has no agenda of its own. Several species have this sort of technology. Our military is still fighting it. But it's more stabilized. 4. We have an off-planet group of peacekeepers/watchdogs willing to defend humans and Earth. 5. The Confederation of Races, such as Ashtar Command, have been enemies at times and other times work with us on some things. They have an agenda. 6. Mount Shasta, Lemurian base has been there 15 to 16,000 years. Has gone through several changes and challenges. Raptors were there in mid-70s until about 1981-82. They pulled out after the Falklands War, due to unks from other races who felt they were not to be trusted because too aligned with certain humans, Navy? And possibly Air Force as well. 7. Nazis and US Gov, doesn't seem to believe they are in control of US. Gov. Thinks Bushes aren't Nazis, just helped them because it made monetary and strategic sense, but they are fascists. The elected government not Nazis, however the rich Nazis do run major corporations. And therefore run US. Through them to some degree. Nazis believe in totalitarian government. In favor of human slavery, social purity. Got help from Aldebaran and Reptoids and probably Trogs. 8. Says Africa, they had big plans for Africa and none of them good. Something is going on in Nigeria and the Congo. Did not deny that we sold large portions of Africa to incoming race from Aldebaran, need to get more about this. Says both Congo and South Africa seen as important in the future. Mining of colored diamonds, several alien species find colored diamonds, not clear ones, very desirable. 7. Cats, panther type, introduced concept of cat goddess to Egypt and Mesopotamia. By cat people. 8. Vesta, asteroid. There is a base in the asteroid with human and Nordic species. 9. Orion ships. Ships from Orion system, built by Nordics, and other races, have been sold to humans. Space fleet, belonging to and built by humans called Orion ships. Deep space fleet. 12 built in the 50s, upgraded since then. Mark was a captain of an Orion ship. We have an interchange program with aliens to learn about space travel and navigation. 10. Verify that we have capability, as stated by Jake Simpson, to identify who is flying an incoming craft, type of craft etc. from a distance of those flying into our solar system. Solar Warden. Space Fleet. But we are not as fast at that as we need to be. 11. Minerva. Biological entity, spaceship, one of a kind in our solar system, but she is in touch with others of her kind out there. She is 40,000 years more advanced than our tech. Humans irritate her like fleas. Like Mark and did mind meld so he could fly her using his abilities to interface with her. 12. Why doesn't Mark simply leave? Has offers from raptors, to go to other planets, etc. but doesn't want to leave friend and family. Yes, they could break him out of prison at any time. If he was broken out he would have to leave because he would be hunted by enemies, reps and some humans. He does have protection and is very able to protect himself as well. Loves this planet, says it's the best Earth-like planet out of 1,700 others for human life. 13. Terraforming moons of Jupiter and Saturn, he says no. But we do have bases there. And we have terraformed a couple of moons containing large numbers of humans, hundreds of thousands of humans, rescued from raiding parties by the raptors. They can't bring them back here because they know at least some of the humans would talk and they can't have that. Note, indications that we have more enemies that we know. And that humans are more desirable either as food and for breeding, genetic programs with human females, than we realize. Our terraforming attempts have been less than successful because it is hard to get Earth plants and bacteria to grow in alien soil. 14. Mars. Everything is underground. 15. Miscellaneous raptors, look like Steven Spielberg Jurassic Park, 4 feet tall, hunched over on very large legs slash thighs but if stretched out are about 8 feet tall. Anything they do to help humans can be used against them by reptoids and trogs. Raptors Empress viewed Mobius of future timelines and the ones where they align themselves with humans are the most positive for their race. So they are now dedicated to working with humans, not eating them. Raptors were eating humans until a treaty in 1954. Chinagate, war, a group of raptors disagreed with the Empress and worked with Nazi/reptoids against humans. 16. Crystalline beings blob-like, called Jotuns, spies of the multiverse. Used by other races because they can morph to take on almost any shape, couch, human, and are indistinguishable from the real thing, but can only take shapes approx to their own real size. Not friendly to humans. 17. New Berlin. Built and run by Nazis. Raptors and humans are there now as well. Some small groups of ambassadors from other races, including the Blue Greys, who are friendly to humans. Mark admits to working with Nazis when necessary to his mission. 18. Rothschild. Mark has a problem with most Rothschild but one. Doesn't believe they are necessarily Satanists. 19. Bechtels are way worse than Rothschild. Running behind the scenes a part of secret space program. 20. Says DNA tests of Western elite families does not contain reptilian stain. Says humans have horrible tendencies not connected to the alien races. 21. We can trace human DNA all the way back. Much further than commonly known. 22. Pleiadians contributed DNA to humans, were the first humans. But left and have not contributed anything to help our DNA progress lately. 23. Chemtrails, yes, being used to poison humans. Terraform planet / contain nano and create humanity 3.0 equals looking for a more suggestible, docile, controllable, but super soldier type of human. 24. Some parts of treaties with aliens have given away our rights. 25. Doesn't believe autism, created by radiation exposure of parents, is being used to create precogs. Note I disagree strongly with this based on much investigation. 26. Says we have lowered out standards of excellence in the military. 27. Mark considers that he has made a command decision to come forward. As an officer of the military. 28. Time travel, he travels without stargaze or wormhole, using basically the Merkaba. Light body in motion. Only question he would not answer was about him being sent on current assignments in ether, etc. But in body language conveyed clearly this is the case. Parallel Earth. Very dangerous to go and find your doppelganger, devil, warns must not touch them. Would be very difficult. Nazis, time travel and reverse aging. They made great strides in longevity and reducing aging. Verified my time traveler story, spoken about on stage at my Awaken Aware time travel conference, yes, thousands of Nazi officers and scientists have been reduce aged. At innocuous jobs. And working on the space program in secret. Easiest place to hide is Germany. Hiding in plain sight, since 1982, easier for reduce age to blend back into society. Wernher von Braun and Disney were some of first men to be cloned. Avatar scenario easy to achieve, using your own DNA. Our mind is based on our DNA. 29. Earth, big vacation spot / observation spot for visiting species. They may sometimes fear us. Big alien tourist industry. 30. Portals / stargates, beingness of planets, etc. Saturn and Jupiter have large portals into other dimensions. There is a species of gaseous creature that visits Mark and others. Looks like grayish cloud. They can survive here. Says anything that develops a multi-genetic code is alive. There is no ruling body that controls Earth from Saturn. Saturn is considered a goddess being and worshipped or revered by several ET races. Back in 1961 and 71 we had interplanetary meetings, but humans back then didn't understand what being alive was. Story about aliens refusing to meet without goddess Saturn present. Jupiter also individual living being. 31. All worlds are yours except for Europa. Says race of worms inhabited and want to develop their race there, so it is off limits to other beings to occupy. However, there are installations, we have 1, and 16 robotic bases there. Note. I remote viewed this as well. 32. We have been attacked by advanced AI species. Robots / androids more. 33. Gold, not the same energetically as that found off planet. Why? Doesn't have same pollution levels as Earth gold. Nor same long-term pressures. Used in space travel as directional locator. Doesn't know about interdimensional qualities but acknowledges possible. We could slide Earth slightly off kilter, but it is dangerous. 34. Why he talks, believes his info is dated and built in deniability by Gov due to imprisonment, etc. 35. War in Middle East, about guarding stargates with raptors help, numerous gates along range of mountains between Iran and Iraq. But they are shifting constantly, floating up and down. Making guarding them more and more difficult. 36. Wars, politics, interstellar race involvement. There is evidence of alien visitation, some buried such as in Gobi Desert. In Malta. Carved mural near Persepolis. Iran, we are battling them since 1979, up until then they were fine, but since then taken over by reptoids and djinn. Their moms are being deceived and turned against us by raptoids. Certain races of oceanics advise our Navy. Raptors closest to USAF. Russians are more aligned with raptoids. Our animosity toward Russians goes back many years due to different human conditions creating us as a different type of humanity. Russians more hardy due to strenuous conditions slash lifestyle slash and meaner as a result. Chinese are aligned with race of hairy humanoid slash and Zetas. He knows of three other races interacting with Chinese but does not know of any new technological advantage. This came from a whistleblower who claims the Chinese were recently given a new tech no one else has to give them the advantage so they can rule the world. Ural Mountain bases, there are new Russian bases in the Ural Mountains affecting US-Russian relations. 37. Putin and Ukraine. Putin wanted Crimea for reasons pertaining to bizarre magnetic anomalies in that country. Tanks and troops disappearing in thin air, many such occurrences. My comment, the very uneven energy in Crimea and Putin's desire to get control of Crimea may be in part because of the pyramids found there. Putin knows all secrets. Not the good guy he pretends to be, however very smart and comes across better because far more read in on truth than Obama and other Western politicians. 38. Malta, some of ruins not of this planet. Temples built by other races. Vortexes there are controlled by Vatican and Knights of Malta etc. Yes, one of the powerhouses on Earth. Mark was thinking of writing a book on Malta, loves it but they killed an important and powerful friend of his there. Nidra and other temple built by raptors. See their size and size of doors. Not by longheads. Gantia was major galactic space center where many races from multiverse would meet also containing spaceport like Septepe. In southern Turkey. Big alien tourist spot. Vatican using Knights of Malta to hide many secrets on Malta re-Atlantis and more. 39. Atlantis. Malta was a safe haven. But Atlantis likely was, according to Pleiadians. North American continent, back in those days just around 1,000 miles off Portugal. Malta re the information that I've been getting go there to bring a group to investigate is right on. Atlantis, there is evidence of Atlantis off the coast of Gibraltar and undersea substantial things have been found there Gobi Desert and other places as well. The Pleiadians say that our Earth was smaller and has expanded so that got me days of Atlantis is very likely that he believes United States was a lot closer and US may actually be Atlantis. Malta he agrees was a sanctuary. 40. Re-tower on the moon for souls? Reincarnation? Says no. There are many towers on the moon but nothing to do with reincarnation. 41. Bush branch of NWO, cabal, forced to pull back since 2008. Due to mismanagement. 42. Mark is a deep believer in the dream of the United Nations. Says there are at least two main meeting places on Earth today for interstellar races. One in Britain and one in Chile. The one in Chile is often attacked by earthquake weapons from the reps. It is in southern Chile. One old one in UK was in a well-known castle. Major meeting place. Now changed to Space Command Center in Leicester. Not as much for meetings but still a lot more going on there than public realizes. 43. Secret space program run primarily by US and Russia along with UK and France. 44. Mark's state of mind and how he survives prison. 45. Raiding parties. Taking humans. Women and children mainly. Off-planet terraformed a couple moons outside our solar system. Hidden. Will not reveal where. Large numbers of humans on that were recaptured by the raptors and rescued. Taken to the terraformed moons, hundreds of thousands. The reason they can't bring them back to Earth is because that at least some of those people would end up talking and Mark said that they couldn't allow that because that would reveal the whole secret. 46. We have peacekeepers, watch force that patrols our galaxy maintained by our various allies. There's a group that is dedicated to keeping people peace in the solar system and that they there are similar to our United Nations with your different group and I try to broker peace between various rival beings and factions. 47. Nürnbergrun, Rings of Saturn. Didn't know about ships in Rings of Saturn per Nürnbergrun. Doesn't think there is a control group from Saturn over Earth. He did say some major portal into the multiverse from Saturn and Jupiter as well. 48. Terraforming he said that the Earth is very very hard for us to terraform that people don't understand the difficulty there has a lot to do with the fact that we had trouble getting bacteria to grow in an alien environment. Therefore it's very hard to get plants take root. So they use hydroponics in an enclosed structure. 17,000, or 1,700? Earth-like planets, but none of them are as conducive to human life as our Earth. 49. Stargates, Earth's stargates, he said you can create a portal anywhere. Humans can create a portal which to go that we have the capability. And then there are the ones that are being fought over, and there's the range of mountains between Iran and Iraq where the gates are shifting. For the gates don't stay in place and therefore they're very hard to guard and so on. 50. ETs that are investing in movies make the most money, and that money is all going into the black projects. There is a paper trail that Hollywood has that would prove this. But it is hidden. George Lucas and James Cameron are very well versed in what is going on here on planet Earth and know the Raptors are investing in their movies. More movies coming about dragons. For PR purposes by Raptors. To improve human-raptor relations. 51. Humans is a commodity, needs more investigation. Humans are a commodity in the multiverse that they sometimes use to trade for what we, the secret space program, really wants, like whether it's dark energy or something else. However, there is also a protection for the humans, but there's a lot less of that going on because of the new treaties that have been made as of this sort of protection. End of notes.